Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Welcome. It's good to have you here today. Welcome. I'm just a little ditty out of a Pentecostal renewal from last Sunday. I like to read them. You know, there's some really good Bible studies in those magazines, if any of you are interested in that. Anyway, this is A Quarter at a Time is the title over it. Someone said that we think giving all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill, laying it on the table, and saying, "Here's my life, Lord, I'm giving it all." But God usually sends us to the bank to cash in our $1,000 for quarters, and then asks us to invest a quarter here and a quarter there. Two-bit deeds, talking to a troubled teen, volunteering for nursery duty. A pastor told me about an atheist he repeatedly visited in a nursing home. He wasn't able to break through to the man until one day he asked if there was anything he could do for him. The old man hesitated, then blurted out, "My toenails are hard and crusty and I can hardly see anymore, and my hands are so arthritic I can't squeeze the clippers." The preacher said he felt awkward as he knelt in front of this man, holding his foot with one hand and clippers with the other, that is, until he felt something wet on the back of his neck. Looking up, he discovered that the man had broken into tears, thus beginning a journey that eventually led to the cross. Hallelujah. What he couldn't bring about by several well-polished presentations of the gospel, he was able to accomplish with a single act of kindness. About a quarter's worth, I'd say. Hallelujah for two-bit deeds. You know, we have to learn to be sensitive to those quarter-worth deeds that are there so often for us to do. Can we sing page 369, "He Set Me Free"? Can we stand while we sing? Hallelujah. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. Set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm home. Welcome the visitors here. There's a lot of people that are visiting today. Welcome them and greet them in the name of our Lord. We're just going to sing the chorus through a couple more times. He set me free, yes, He set me free. Thank you. today? My Jesus can set you free. He's the bondage breaker. I mean, he loves you guys so much. He wants you to walk in victory every day. Hallelujah. 258. Hallelujah. Come, ye sinners, lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you, when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make my sinner free. And I know. Thank you. does give us songs, doesn't he? I mean, he just fills your heart with such beautiful music. You know, even if you can't carry a tune in a bushel basket, he loves to hear you sing. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that's important. It's important to make a joyful noise. And that's what we're here for today. We're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. And I am singing a new song every day. He does just put that in there. You may be seated.
If we could have our ushers come, take this morning's tithes and offering.
Neither are they.
Hallelujah. Can we stand? He hath shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He hath shown thee,
he hath shown thee,
what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly,
but to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy God. One more time. He hath shown thee,
he hath shown thee,
O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly,
but to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy
in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And he
shall lift
you up higher and higher,
and he
shall lift you up. Sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And he
shall
lift
you
up higher and higher.
Christ alone,
in Christ. Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said.
You know, if you're looking, trusting in anything other than Christ today, it's like the dog barking at the coon and he's at the wrong tree. You're barking up the wrong tree. In Christ alone, that's the only firm foundation, that's the only solid rock there is. It's not out there anyplace else. It's not out there anyplace else. I looked for about 30 years, and I kept finding myself at the wrong tree. For almost that same amount of time I've been living for the Lord. Hallelujah. He's the only true, solid foundation that we have. Could we sing it one more time? In Christ alone, put your trust in Christ alone. If you've never done it before, do it today. If you're not sure how to do that, ask somebody here today. We'd be more than happy to help you. Ask the youth pastor, ask Pastor Manning, ask me, ask any of these folks up front here, any of these. Most everybody here today can help you out. We'd be more than happy to. And you know, it says that the angels in heaven, I mean, there's a slug of angels in heaven, but I don't know how many, but there's a lot of them. It says that they rejoice whenever a sinner comes in repentance. I mean, it's like a holy orchestra in front of God's throne, just waiting to play, waiting to sing. Hallelujah. In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of his cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
Hallelujah.
Let's remain standing. Let's sing this song too. I thought it would just fit right in here today. Maybe some of you are a little bit weak. You can lead a church. Maybe some of you are just need a boost of strength today. Let the Lord be your strength.
Amen. Hallelujah. He is your strength when you're weak. He said, Paul said, I glory in my weakness because when I am weak, he is shown strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. You are my all in all. Bless you, Lord.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, I give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus,
you are my strength when I am
weak.
You are the treasure that I seek.
You are my all in all. Jesus,
seeking you as a precious gem,
but to give up.
So kind. Oh Lord, you are so strong and mighty and powerful. Oh Lord, your word says you are like a strong tower that we can run into you and be saved. Oh Lord, you want to shadow us under your wings to protect us. Thank you, Lord, for that. Great and mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy is your name, Lord. Worthy is your name.
You may be seated. Children's Church is dismissed at this time. Ages 2 through 5 can go to Children's Church. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we will get there in just a moment. Let me ask you a couple of questions to begin with. How many of you like to get new clothes? Do you like to wear new clothes? All except for those new stiff jeans, right? So now we buy them pre-washed and everything so they're already comfortable. Have you put on your new clothes? You know, this is the time of year when people start thinking spring, even though we had a little setback yesterday. We start thinking about spring and spring clothes, and it's almost that time of the year to buy our new Easter dress or Easter suit or Easter outfit. So we start looking for new clothes. Some of you ladies enjoy making new clothes. Some of you buy them. Either way, clothes are expensive. New clothes take money. Now, I've heard of many wives when they need new clothes, they want a new dress or something, they start calling their husbands handsome. You know, you know, handsome over. One lady said to her husband, "Darling, I had a dream last night, and you gave me $100 for a new Easter dress. You wouldn't want to spoil that dream now, would you, honey?" And he replied, "Of course not, sweetheart. You go right ahead and keep that $100 you dreamed about." But I think all of us like new things. We like new clothes. It's springtime. It does us good to get a new suit or a new dress or a new outfit once in a while. I can't keep up with the styles myself. By the time I can afford the thing that I think is in style, it's out of style. I always look for the sale to buy them. You know, I wanted a double-breasted suit, so I saved up money one time to buy a double-breasted suit. Come to find out, when I finally had enough money, double-breasted suits were out of style. It was the new athletic cut. So when I saved to buy a new athletic cut, then the double-breasted suits come back in style. You know, they always come back in style if you hang on to them long enough. Everything seems to come back. You ladies know what I'm talking about, fads and fashions. You've seen them change. We've gone from the short mini skirts to the maxi dresses, from the short splits to the long splits. You know, we've gone from shirts with those narrow collars to no collars to big collars. We go from solids being in style to plaids and pastels and great big bright fluorescent colors. So we have all these styles of clothing. But I wonder today if you have tried on your Christian clothing. Because the clothing that I'm talking about today never goes out of style, and everybody likes it when it's worn right. It's always in fashion. What is the Christian's clothing? Well, the Bible tells us that there are a number of garments that we have that we need to put on as a Christian. But before I mention the one that I want to talk about today, let me ask you a question. If I told you that by putting on this garment, you would be exalted, revived, great, honored, given grace, and lifted up, how many of you think you would put that garment on? Come on, all of you should have your hands up. All of us want to be exalted. We want to be great and revived. All of us need more grace. So I think that we would agree. We would want to put on this garment if we knew what it was and we had the opportunity. Turn to, or you should be there, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at verses 5 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Look at verse 5. We are to be subject one to another, and in the middle of that verse, be clothed with humility. Clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Let's pray. Father, we do humble ourselves before you today that we might learn from your word, that we might be living in a right relationship to your word and to you and to each other. And also, Lord, that we would have a right relationship with ourselves. And so we ask that you would bless this word, you would honor it today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I thought about a title for this sermon, and I thought I could call it Humility and How I Attained It. But I didn't think that was very humbling. So you want to talk about the Christian's clothing, or get low, go slow, and don't blow. Peter was a man who, I believe, was a proud man who learned humility. He tells us what kind of garment to wear. He says, be clothed with humility. And as we approach this spring season, it would be a great time for all of us to try on a new suit, try on a new dress, put the new clothing of humility on ourselves. Simply says, be clothed with humility. Now, the dictionary says that humility means meekness, modesty, unpretentious, and freedom from pride. Meekness, modesty, unpretentious, and freedom from pride. Peter goes on to say that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Are you humble today? It's so easy to be filled with pride. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, with the Holy Spirit's help, are we humble? Can we really say that we are humble? If you can't say, I'm a humble person, then you need a new garment. You need a new outfit. You need to humble yourself before God. Peter was writing to all those Christians, throughout Asia Minor. He was telling them that humility is learned by the Christian as he lives in a right relationship to God and to others. But first of all, you have to have a right understanding of yourself. People have to be in a right relationship with themselves. We skip this part so many times. We think about our relationship, our vertical relationship with God, and we think about our horizontal relationship with others. But there is that inward relationship that we have to have with ourselves. And that is really the prerequisite for having a relationship with others. And again, he reminds us that we have to be humble because God will resist the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble. In other words, be clothed with humility. And he is telling us that we have to humble ourselves, so what? So we can be exalted, right? Under the mighty hand of God, that we might be raised up in due time. Now I want to take some definitions of humility and apply those to our lives. First of all, an everyday definition of humility means to get low. Very simply, that's what humility means, to get low. It was in the sixth verse that Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Get low. Get under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the right time. He might exalt you in due time. God wants us low enough so that he can speak to us. God wants us clothed with humility so that we will be able to serve God and we'll be able to serve others. Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Just the opposite of what we think it would be. We think we have to promote ourselves, but Jesus said, no, you humble yourselves, and then you will be promoted. You will be exalted. James said in chapter 4 and verse 10 of his book, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." You see, humility is not something that we do for show. It's not something that we do for sham. But real humility is a person who, through submission, is showing courtesy and consideration for somebody else to the glory of God. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Not to think proudly, but to think humbly, soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we have to get low if we are going to be humble people. We have to get low. We have to get low so that God will speak to us. We have to get low so that we can serve others. Number two, secondly, we must go slow as we wear our garment of humility. Get low and then go slow. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, God spoke to the psalmist and gave him a great piece of advice that we need to listen to. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Just get into the presence of God and zip it sometimes. Be still and realize that he is an awesome God. And he has something to say to you. Some of us never hear from God because we're too busy talking. God can't get a word in edgewise. Be still, he says, and know that I am God. It takes a measure of humility to quiet yourself before God and to go slow in the presence of God. God is to be exalted above all men. We say that, and yet we do everything that we can to exalt ourselves. We're wearing the wrong garment. We need a new one. You see, when we're right with God, we don't have to go around telling everybody how humble we are. They'll see it. They'll recognize it. They'll know just how humble you are. But there are some things that we can go slow with to show that we are humble people, that we are practicing humility. First of all, go slow with pride. Go slow with pride. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 11, the Pharisee prayed, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." You notice that this Pharisee needed a new garment. He was not clothed with humility. His heart was lifted up with pride. He looked around, "God, I thank you that I'm not like this person over here." And there's the temptation in all of us to thank the Lord that, you know, I'm not like that person. I don't have those negative qualities. But you know, when you're in the presence of God, really, you can't look at anybody else. You can only look at yourself. You look at yourself, and you look at yourself in relation to Jesus Christ. Ego and pride, a lot of times, give us trouble. They give us more trouble than we realize. We're talking about the Sunday school. I heard pride come up a few times. Only by pride comes contention. Go slow with pride. Put on the garment of humility. Then go slow with covetousness. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life is consistent not in the abundance of things he possesseth. That's not really where the answer lies. It's not in what we have as possessions. It's what we are as people. It's who we are as people. We ought not to covet somebody's job or possessions to the point where we become jealous of them. We envy them. Instead, we need to practice humility. We need to go slow with covetousness. We need to go slow with our tongues. We're warned by James that we need to be swift to hear but slow to speak. I find that a lot of times I want to speak just because I'm proud. I think I have something important to say. God says, don't be quick to speak. Don't be swift always to give an answer, but rather be slow to speak. You know, the words that we say may hurt more than they help. And so we need to go slow with what we have to say. I don't think we can get a new tongue. In fact, the Bible tells us that the tongue is an unruly even evil, that nobody will be able to ever completely tame the tongue. We'll never be able to get a new tongue. So we have no choice but to put on a new garment of humility. Humility will help us with our tongue. Go slow with humility and go slow with all these things, including our unruly tongues. Go slow with pride. Go slow with covetousness. Go slow with your speech. And then number three, the test, the real test of humility as a definition of and a way of expressing humility is recognized when we don't blow. When we don't lose our cool and lose our temper. Get low, go slow, and don't blow. You know, a boxer can't win a fight when he blows up. I remember some of those playground boxing matches in elementary and junior high school where they would just get so mad they would just start beating and swinging their fists as hard as they could go. You know what? A boxer cannot do that. A prize fighter cannot do that. He has to discipline himself. He has to make sure that the punches he takes counts. A lot of times he leaves himself open when he just goes wild in his swinging. He leaves his face, he leaves his head open, he leaves himself unprotected. And he gets hurt a lot worse than if he knew how to be a skilled fighter. He watches his opponent's every move and looks for a chance to land his punch. He has to be defensive. He has to ward off blows as well as offensive in landing punches. He must keep his guard up every minute for protection. He must go slow and not blow when the other man is at his best. I can relate this to almost all areas of life. I can relate it to, again, to sports. When I was, 11 years old, we had beaten a couple times that year already. And maybe because of our pride, I don't know, it was a close game. And it was the bottom of the seventh inning. We only played seven innings. But it was the bottom of the seventh inning. We were at bat. We were behind by a run. And I remember the guy on the other team who was pitching for them. He was a really good pitcher. But we called him Tomato Face because he got really red when he got mad. And you can tell when he got angry. He was really mad. And something happened in that game, and I don't really remember what it was, but I remember his face got as red as a tomato. And he's standing on the pitching mound, and he's pitching for all he's worth. And he's throwing as hard as he can possibly throw. And you know what happened? He got wild. He just got wild. He started walking everybody. And he walked in the tying run. And before that game was over, his team had lost because he got angry and he didn't know how to deal with his anger. What I want to tell you today is you have to know how to deal with your anger. You have to go slow with anger. You have to learn how to be a humble person. And the test of that will come when you don't blow. And you might say, God, I want to be a humble person. I want to learn humility. God will test you. He'll put you to the test to see how sincere you are. And you cannot blow. You cannot blow. I remember getting upset on the basketball court. You know what happens when you get mad? You start doing foolish things. You start taking shots that you would never take unless you were mad. And you start to lose control. And when you lose control, you lose the game. We are losing a lot of things because of our temper. It has to be in control all the time. Or else you'll lose your influence by blowing up when somebody disagrees with you or disapproves of something that you have to say. Go slow and don't blow. The poet has said it this way about humility: he that is down need fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble shall ever have God to be his guide. Here's some very practical things that you can do to put on the garment of humility. So some practical things today to practice humility. First of all, you can submit to authorities. Submit to people who are the authorities in your life. Then you can admit faults and needs. That's a hard thing for people to do sometimes, to admit that they have a fault. And yet, again, it was James who tells us that we are to confess our faults one to another. Sometimes it's hard to admit that we have needs. Too proud to admit that. And yet God gives grace to the humble. God will meet that need if you would admit it many times. Admit your need. People don't come to Christ because they don't want to admit their need of Him. And so it's their pride and their arrogancy that keeps them from coming to Christ. Ask forgiveness. Some of the hardest words in our language are, "I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" So that's some of the hardest words people could ever speak. It's easier for me to get up here and preach a sermon than it is many times to say to my wife, "I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" Praise your competitors. Praise those who are in competition with you. And then kneel. I saw Pastor Craig kneeling as we sang that song today. The word humility, one of the literal meanings of that is to bow low. Get on our knees before God, practicing humility. Deflect praise. When people come and praise you for something, try to pass that praise on to somebody else. Serve others. That's what Jesus did, and I think we're going to look at him next week as an example of how he served others. The master once took a towel and girded it around his waist and washed his disciples' feet. Again, the story that George read this morning, a beautiful example of one who practiced humility. Consider God's work. Express gratefulness. You're saying thank you to somebody. Weep over sin. Ask others to point out blind spots. You know, we have a place when we're driving down the road with our car, there, you look in your mirror, there's a certain place if somebody's at beside you, you can't see them. We have blind spots in our life too. There are things that I cannot see about myself that others see. My wife especially. You can point those out to me. Here's one that you think about this one. I'm not saying you necessarily have to do this, but if you got a hang up on this, this might be a good idea. Sell status symbols. Sometimes those status symbols are a point of pride. You know, I've got a $150 pair of Nike tennis shoes. Sell status symbols. It's interesting to me that David came and he rode up on a mule, but Absalom came with 50 horsemen. David was practicing humility. Absalom's heart was lifted up in pride, so much so that he thought he should be the king in place of David. Honor the Lord's Day. Putting God first is practicing humility. Giving sacrificially and the tithe is humbling yourself to give to the Lord. And so this morning I would just ask you to get low, to go slow, and don't blow. Put on that garment of humility. Everybody likes it. You know what? You look real good in humility. You do. Everybody looks real good in humility. We think sometimes, if I put this garment on, I'm going to look foolish. No, you're going to look real nice, clothed in humility. You're going to look real good as you give yourselves to the Lordship of Christ. As servants of His, He wants us to be clothed with humility. It is said that when Queen Victoria was Queen of England, that she loved to dress up like one of the common people in disguise and go into the marketplace and go into the street. One day she slipped out by a side gate with only her faithful servant, John Brown, who followed her well behind. She was dressed in the clothes of a peasant gal. This time she took down a country road, and she hadn't gone too far before she met a flock of sheep being driven by a young shepherd boy. And of course, as she met them, the sheep began to scatter and spread out. And the boy shouted, "Keep out of the way, you stupid old woman." The queen smiled but didn't say a word. When her servant got to where the boy was, he told him that that was the queen he had talked so ugly to. And the boy said, "Well, if it's the queen, she ought to dress like the queen." You know, many people didn't come to Jesus because of his humility. They wanted a king. They wanted somebody that would set up an earthly throne. They wanted somebody to have mighty armies fighting for their nation. But the king came, and the king rode on a donkey. The king was tried. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was cursed. He was crucified on the cross. And yet, he outlived and he loved them all because he wore the cloak of humility. And he arose from the grave, and he lives forever. And any moment, he's going to split that old eastern sky. And he's going to come back for you and me. And I want you to know today that humility beat them all. His disciples wanted him to show his might, show his strength, show his pride. But he said, "No, I won't do it. I am meek and lowly in heart." And in his humility, he beat them all. And that's the only way you and I will ever win out, by wearing the garment of humility. Lost person, if you're here today and you've never tried it on, you've never humbled yourself and come to Christ and asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, why don't you come to Jesus today? Try on this new garment of humility. You'll look nice in it. You'll like it. You'll enjoy it. I can guarantee it. You say that you're a Christian, and I say, like the shepherd boy, if you are a Christian, you need to dress like a Christian. You need to put on some new clothing, maybe. You need to put on a new garment. You ought to be clothed with humility. Could I have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? And ladies, if you could play "Just As I Am." Just as I am, without one plea. Just as you are, just humbly like you are. I want you to come to Christ today. First of all, if you are here, you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior. You have not humbled yourself and prayed the sinner's prayer. Please do so today. Please do so today. Or maybe there was a time in your life where you said it. You once humbled yourself and you said to Jesus, "Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior." And you went a step further and you humbled yourself even more. And you said, "Be my Lord." But today He is not your Savior. He's not your Lord. You're living in pride. You're living for self. You're living in selfishness. You're not living in servanthood. You're in a backslidden condition today. You're not wearing the clothing of humility. You've taken that clothing off. You've put on the clothing of the Pharisees. Pride. Arrogancy. Only by pride comes contention. And if there's a struggle in your heart right now, you know that you're not right with God, and yet you're struggling. You don't want to admit that. You know what that is today? That's your pride. Please go slow with pride. Do something even better than going slow with pride. Please cast off pride today. Please take it off. Don't let anything hinder you from getting right with Jesus Christ today. Is there anybody here with an uplifted hand? You would say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not saved, or I'm in a backslidden condition. My heart is not right with God." Anybody today? Nobody's looking around. Please close your eyes. Anybody with an uplifted hand? "Pastor, would you pray for me?" Amen. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you, young person. I see that hand. Thank you, young person. You can put them down. God bless you. God bless you this morning. Anybody else? Anybody else? Then maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, but you're not dressed like a Christian. You're not clothed in humility. People don't recognize you as being a follower of Christ because of the lack of humility in your life. You can't honestly say that you've gotten low. For a long time, you've not gotten low. You have not served others. You've not got beneath them. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I've not gone slow. Yes, there is pride in my heart. There's covetousness in my heart. I've let my tongue get out of hand, and I've not gone slow. Or maybe you're here today. You say, I failed the test, Pastor. I have a problem with anger. I have a tendency to blow. If that fits you in any way today, I'm going to give you a chance to come to the altar and make it right. You know what? Just by walking this aisle today, you are taking a great step toward humility. And that's why I'm asking you to come to the front today. I'm asking you young people to come. I'm asking Christians that are not clothed in humility. I'm asking you to come today because that one step will be helping you place on the garment of humility. So let's take our songbooks and let's turn to Just As I Am. 333. 333. The Lord doesn't want you to clean up your act before you come. He wants you to come humbly. Come humbly today before Him. Come, even as we sing the first verse. Everybody standing, those of you that raise your hands, those of you that need to come, please come as we sing even the first verse. Just as I am without one plea, whatever I want, was this morning. If you're here and you have a special need, you would just like to humble yourself before God and admit that need, these altars are open. And then I'd ask others of you today to come and pray with those that are up here in front. Please practice servanthood this morning. Practice humility. Get low and serve them today. Pray with them and encourage them. Come on the fourth verse. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt well and cleanse freely, because Thy love is kindly, O Lamb of God, I come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you absolutely must go, you can consider yourselves dismissed. Otherwise, I just ask that you remain quiet here for just a few moments. Be in prayer for those that have come to the front. pray that they would meet God here today. Here today. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord, we humble ourselves before you today. Lord, I pray that you would have your hand on these lives. Lord, that you would do whatever you want to do with them. Lord, that they would just get rid of all pride. Lord, that they would just get rid of all self today. Lord, that they would be empty vessels that you might fill for the master's use. That they would be fit for the master's use today. Lord, make them a servant. Make them servants, Lord. Use them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, touch these young ladies here today. Lord, I bless them. And I thank you for their willingness to humble themselves and kneel at this altar today. Oh, God, we pray that you would just do a mighty work in their lives. Oh, Lord, for this one here today on my right, I pray, Lord, that she would find you today as Lord and Savior and Master. Oh, Lord Jesus, whether she is backslidden or doesn't know you, I pray that right now, Lord, you would save her. Lord, you would bring her home to Jesus, home to the Father who's waiting with open arms. Oh, God, thank you. Demonstrate your love to her today and your care and concern. Hallelujah.